The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we're going to talk about the challenges of going to Disney World with large groups. That's coming up on this episode 105 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 105. Looking forward to talking to you today about doing Disney World with large groups because there are a lot of logistical challenges with that. And I've learned the hard way. So I've got some thoughts for you. As always, before we dive in, I want to remind you to connect on social media, but today I want to focus on Periscope because I am currently live streaming on Periscope and people are watching this as I'm recording it with video in my office. And so if you want to get into Periscope or if you want to watch it live, then you can follow me on Periscope at WDW Prep School and you can follow me at WDW Prep School on all other social media as well. If you've never used Periscope before, and lots of people have been asking me about this, it's just a free app that you download and you follow people that you want to watch broadcast. And when they broadcast, you are alerted on your phone. And if you can, you join in and you can chat with other people, watch the video. And even if you can't, you can watch the video later and see what was said. So you can't participate later, but within 24 hours, you can watch the playback. And let's just say I'm really glad that they do disappear within 24 hours because some of the Periscopes I've done have been a little on the edge, but you can follow me along and we're going to try this. I've never live streamed. I've never had a video component to the podcast, but let's give it a try. So at the end, after we talk about the main topic, as always, I will have a quick tip of the day, news that happened this week, as well as a featured company. So let's dive into the logistics of planning a trip with a large group. As I said, I've learned this the hard way, so don't make the same mistakes that I've made. A few things that I suggest before diving into like the specifics of the planning challenges is, first of all, if your group is large enough, I wouldn't plan on doing everything together because it's really hard to move a large group in the same direction for everything, like touring and restaurants and everybody to agree. And so I recommend not planning on that. You might want to just plan on getting together once a day, like for dinner or something like that, just to make it easier on everybody. Number two, I recommend sharing the responsibility. One of the benefits of having a large group is that you can sort of spread the responsibility around instead of having everybody do everything. So if you plan on eating like your own meals, you can take turns with everybody being responsible for a different day of your trip. So let's say you're there for a week and you're going to have some meals at your house or condo or wherever it is that you're staying, then you can take turns being responsible for food for that day. Another responsibility that you might share is if you plan to do Tinkerbell, which I will link to in the show notes if you don't know what that is, you can share those responsibilities. And this is something we've done with our extended family. So one person is responsible for that day, and then everybody else doesn't have to think, you know, for that day, you don't have to worry about what you're going to do. My third suggestion is to get Memory Maker because Memory Maker gives you all the photos for your trip and you all can be linked together and share. So it's almost a no-brainer when you have a group because it makes it very, very cheap per photo. And that will make it's sort of a no-brainer. For families of four or small families that are going, you know, you have to kind of decide if Memory Maker makes sense. But for large groups, everybody linked together, go ahead and splurge on Memory Maker so you can all get your photos and share. And I'll link in the show notes to information about Memory Maker. And in that post, I explain how you can link together so you all have access to the photos. So let's dive into like some of the challenges that I've seen people have and that I've experienced when going to Disney World with big groups. First of all, when you're planning when to go to Disney World, It's hard to sort of coordinate schedules, and you almost always end up going during a busier time because that's when everybody's available. Unless you're lucky now and everybody's willing to take off work and school during a less busy time, you're often going to get have to make plans during a busier time, like when school's out and things like that. So just prepare for that. You're probably going to end up there with at least moderate crowds and with at least moderate prices. Not almost never going to be the least expensive time or least busy time. Number two, and this is one of the biggest ones, is choosing a place to stay is a huge problem for a lot of reasons for groups. One is budgets. Everybody might be on a different budget. And so you have to kind of go lowest common denominator. Like you might have people on a deluxe budget, people on a value budget. You kind of have to go with the value one so everybody can afford to go. So that can be a challenge. Another challenge is that most Disney resort rooms only allow four, or many of them do. And so you have to kind of plan around that if you plan to stay on site. I did just write this week a post about Disney resort rooms that accommodate five plus. I will, of course, link to that in the show notes. So if you want to stay on site, you know what the capacity is for your group. The conclusion your group might have, and this is what a lot of people do, is just to rent houses off-site because you can pay a reasonable amount and everybody has their own rooms and beds and bathrooms and it's just much more affordable. But you do have to sort of trade on-site versus off-site, you know, benefits if you're going to do that. If you do decide to stay on-site and you are a group of two rooms or more, you can take advantage of something that's called a travel with number. And this basically used to be called a grand gathering number. Now it's called a travel with number. And it links your reservations together so that Disney knows that you are traveling with these other people. The benefit to that is that your rooms get assigned first. So if you have room requests, like, you know, certain views that you want or certain buildings that you want, the room assigners will assign the travel with rooms before they assign everybody else. So the chances that you're going to be together are much, much higher if you have a travel with number, which is great because then you can be near your family members, your friends, etc. So that's sort of some thoughts on picking where to stay. I know that is a big one when you are getting together as a group. Thirdly, picking places to eat. Now you have to find places that are great for a group. Like the restaurants, you know, appeal to the whole group and they're affordable to the whole group and they will accommodate, you know, the whole group. So I just said group three times in a row. But buffet is the first thing that many people often think of because obviously, you know, a lot of people can go up and get their own food at a buffet. There's plenty of tables, open seating, et cetera. And some of the best ones that I like are Chef Mickey's, not necessarily for the food, but the atmosphere is really fun for the whole family, especially as a way to kick off a trip. You might also consider Hollywood and Vine, which has fun characters for especially little ones. There are lots of good buffets at Disney World, but if you want to go beyond the buffet, then there are several restaurants that groups often like, both because of the food they serve, but also because of just the atmosphere being sort of fun and appealing to the whole group. One of them is Ohana at the Polynesian. And in fact, a lot of people, when they get married at the Grand Floridian, will have their Ohana like rehearsal dinner because it's easy to fit everybody in and everybody has a good time at Ohana. Another good option is Whispering Canyon Cafe, which is at the Wilderness Lodge. It's just a lot of fun and big platters of food and in silliness, like complete honoriness from the wait staff. Third option is Garden Grill, which used to be only for dinner at Epcot, but now they'll have breakfast, lunch, and dinner starting soon. And that has food that's served family style, and they have characters there as well. Liberty Tree Tavern at Magic Kingdom is a good one. I believe it's family style at dinner, but I kind of like it for lunch as well, even though it's not family style, because it's, you know, easy to have everybody will be pleased, I think, with the menu. It's fairly easy to get in, that kind of thing. However, you need to keep in mind when you have a group that 18% gratuity will be added. So if you're computing the cost ahead of time, then make sure you add the 18% onto the cost because you will be charged that even if you don't think the service is great. And another thought about this is that making large reservations online can be a major challenge. And that's because a lot of the restaurants don't allow over a certain number. And it seems to vary by restaurant. And Heather is currently putting together a lot of information about this so that you know ahead of time what limits you might be up against. And so you might, like, after you get past 12, a lot of restaurants won't allow that. And so that's, you know, a challenge you have to call or, you know, split your reservation into two. So if you can't get a large reservation together, you might consider making two smaller reservations, and that will work for the first reservation, but to make the second reservation, my Disney experience might say, you already have a reservation during that time, you can't do it. So then I recommend calling and just explain to them that's different people that'll be on both. Then you all show up at the restaurant together, check in, and just say you'd like to be seated together so that your whole group can dine at the same time in a close proximity to each other. All right, so that's dining. And then next up, touring is really hard to, any kind of group is going to be difficult when it comes to touring. Like it's annoying to get stuck behind groups, no matter if they're cheerleaders or tour groups or whatever. And so your family moving through the parks is going to be a challenge for a lot of reasons. And so I recommend that you break up into smaller groups to, especially to tour, maybe individual families, maybe by interest, maybe by age. So if, you know, somebody wants to take all the little ones and do little one attractions, and then somebody else takes the older kids and they do, you know, bigger attractions and roller coasters and things, you know, whatever it is, it makes sense for you. I recommend splitting up. And then based on that, you can get your FastPass Plus reservations ahead of time. Just keep in mind that you can use FastPass Plus from somebody else. So if you have little ones who aren't going to be using FastPass Plus for very many things, you can use their Magic Bands or their accounts for FastPass Plus, and then you can take their Magic Bands to go on the rides. That's something that's still quite possible at Disney World. And I should have mentioned this at the beginning, but I'd recommend appointing someone as the reservation maker to sort of do all of this at once if you can, because it will be easier to have one person that's making all the dining reservations and maybe all the FastPass Plus reservations. That can either be one My Disney Experience account where everybody's listed, or it could be multiples that are just all linked, and then one person has access to all of those. But I would set that up ahead of time so that you are ready when it comes time to make dining and FastPass Plus reservations. So in the Periscope chat, if there is anything I missed when it comes to group challenges, feel free to chime in and I will add those on before the episode is up. But I want to dive in to some news that happened this week to catch you up. First of all, Star Wars Half Marathon, The Dark Side, was announced. And in addition to being the half marathon, hence the name, it will also have a kids race, a 5K, and a 10K. And this race weekend will take place April 14th through the 17th next year, 2016. Registration opens on September 22nd. These races are so popular and they sell out so quickly. I just heard that something like 200,000 people do the races every year, and they sell out so quickly. So Disney could theoretically do even more than they do, even more races than they do, and sell out. It is a huge moneymaker, and people seem to love them. That's on my bucket list. Someday I will do a Disney race. Secondly, the My Disney Experience app, which most of you are likely familiar with, but it's the free app that you can get in the App Store for all kinds of phones to manage your entire Disney trip. It now includes PhotoPass pictures, and which is great because you used to have to go online to look at the PhotoPass pictures. If you've purchased Memory Maker, you will have access to the photos right there in the app without watermarks or anything because you've already purchased them. And then right from your phone during your trip, you can upload them to, you know, Facebook or wherever you want to post them, Instagram. And you don't have to worry about going on your computer, which is very convenient during a trip. If you haven't purchased Memory Maker, it'll have a watermark on the pictures. So you will have to purchase them to take the watermark off. Thirdly, Blizzard Beach is now closed beginning in early October, and it was scheduled to begin its refurbishment or closure in late October. It just got moved up to October 4th. So if you're planning on going in October, then that is something to be aware of. I think it's interesting that free dining required you to upgrade your tickets to Park Hopper or Water Parks Fun and More, but now the water parks, one of the water parks is going to be closed even earlier than usual, which kind of limits your options. Eat to the Beat concerts are concerts that take place throughout Food and Wine Festival. Food and Wine Festival is at Epcot from September 25th to November 16th. And there are concerts every night during Food and Wine Festival. And they're usually acts that were at the peak of their popularity a couple of decades ago. So people my age tend to really love it. But it's now a tier one Fast Pass Plus option at Epcot. And so you can actually get a Fast Pass Plus to get seating. I don't know what the seating is going to look like yet. This is brand new. I'm not sure how it's going to work. But the problem I see with this is that it's tier one, which means it's in the same category as Soarin' and Test Track. So if you're a local and you want to go to Food and Wine, then that makes sense. You might want to, you know, save yourself some time and a seat. But if you are going for a week and this is your chance to ride Soarin' or Test Track, I would still use it for Soarin' or Test Track and then maybe later try to get a bonus Fast Pass for it if you want to see the concert and they are still available. But we'll see. I think the availability of the Fast Passes probably will vary a lot depending on the acts that are performing that night. And lastly, and most popularly this week, the Disney just announced that they are going to start sending luggage tags with Magic Bands. And the luggage tag will be different depending on the color of Magic Band you select. So for instance, if you select a gray Magic Band, you'll get one that has Mickey and Minnie. And every color, I think there's seven colors, right? And each color has a different character that will be on it. And I will put a picture in the show notes if you haven't seen it yet, but it used to just be a matter of like, which color do you like best? But now it actually might be a question of which character do you like best? And then you'll choose the Magic Band that coordinates with it to make sure that you can get it. So that will come with your Magic Band box at the same time. If you do not get the Magic Band box sent to you and you have to get it at the resort, like if you're from a different country or whatever, that will be in your box when you get to the resort to get your Magic Band. You'll get your luggage tags at the same time. So I want to talk next about today's featured company. And as I told you, any company that I talk about has to be a win-win-win, where I think they're going to serve the readers well. It's going to be good for the readers, good for the company, and good for me as well. So today's feature company is Mom Approved Costumes. And I wish that they had existed 15 years ago because my daughter was a princess lover who hated itchy things. And these costumes are fantastic for that. They are washable, glitter-free, and they're packable. And the lady that runs it is named Christy. And I really like her, and we talk often. And the other day, somebody asked a question on the Facebook page about how they were supposed to go to a 3 o'clock Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique appointment and keep the costume that they were bringing with them from wrinkling. And several people chimed in and said, well, you should have a mom-approved costume because they are just great for that. They are easy to pack, easy to wear, etc. And so I thought that was great. And everybody, one of the reasons I can endorse them is that I know that that is most people's experience. And Casey from DLR Prep School has them for her daughter. They're just fantastic. But anyway, if you go to momapprovedcostumes.com and use the code WWPREP at the checkout, you will save 10% on your purchase. And you'll also get a really great costume. And as a bonus, you can request a special note for your child from the company. And so it can be like sort of a special magical surprise if you want it to be. So that's today's featured company. And today's quick tip is about the dining plan. And so Disney Dining Plan is normally thought of as something you can add onto a package. And that's typically how it works. And so that means that you have to book a hotel room, you have to have tickets that you purchase at full price through Disney, and then optionally you can add a Disney dining plan. However, today's quick tip is that you can actually add a Disney dining plan to a room-only reservation. You could get your ticket somewhere else if you wanted to, but the way to do it is through either using a Disney travel agent, or you can call Disney, or you can make a DVC reservation. So if you don't know what a DVC reservation is, I'll link to information about renting points in the show notes. But if you have just a regular reservation through Disney, you can add the dining plan by calling Disney or booking through a travel agent. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can visit www.prepschool.com/episode105. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew, topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles, and that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.